Grace to you and peace from God our Father.
And from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Thus far the word of God. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. When the wise men saw the star, they sought Christ. And they sought him with their whole heart, didn't they? It would have been very easy for them to make excuses. It's so far away. We have other things we have to do. We have jobs. We have families. We have life. It's too expensive. And after all, what is it going to accomplish? We go, we see him, we come back. Wouldn't Jesus be just as happy if we worshiped him here? Why do we need to make that trip? It would have been very easy for them to make excuses. But they didn't, did they? When they saw the star and understood what it meant, with great joy, they left everything to seek Christ. The Jews didn't do so well. They made excuses, didn't they? They had ample witnesses to the birth of Christ. Jerusalem was only 6 to 7 miles from Bethlehem. You know, that's about the distance from here to Kingston. They surely would have heard rumors about what the shepherds had heard and seen. Even if they didn't hear about the shepherds, they had the witness of both Simeon and Anna, who prophesied in the temple concerning the child. And now here come men from a far distant country proclaiming that a special star had arisen to proclaim the birth of their king. Surely, some of them would have made the trip. It's only 2 hours by foot to see what this was all about. But no, they were busy. They were busy with their politics. They were busy making their offerings to God. They were busy with their lives, and they couldn't be bothered to go 2 hours with the Magi to see their king. Which one is a better example of us? The wise men or the Jews? Considering how empty this church was on Christmas morning, it would appear that we're maybe a little bit closer to the Jewish mindset. We have too many other things going on in our lives. It's easy to make excuses, isn't it? Jesus warned about this attitude in his parable of the marriage feast. The king sent out invitations and everyone was busy. One had a cow who had broken his leg, and one had to plow his field, and another had a daughter who was getting married. It's easy to make excuses not to come to church. And sometimes it's true. Sometimes they're good reasons, right? Sometimes we want to come, but we can't. And so I'm not, you know, trying to judge any individual's choices. I don't know when someone misses one church or two or three or Christmas morning. That's something you have to judge yourself. Look at the attitude of your own heart. After all, it's not really whether you're in church or not. I mean, that's important, but the more important thing is the attitude. Are you looking for excuses because you don't really want to go? Or do you really want to go but can't on this one particular day? Do you desire to search and seek and find Christ with your whole heart, with a heart that is willing to cross the deserts like the Magi? And if not, why not? Have you forgotten who Christ is and what he has done for you? The Magi desired to find Christ, sought him with their whole heart, and they found him because they listened to his word, didn't they? It was the word of God that led them to Christ. We have three examples in our text of how well they listened. To begin with, they understood what that star meant. And that is not something they would have understood without the Word of God. They may have recognized it as a special star. They were astronomers, astrologers by nature. But how could they have possibly known that it foretold the birth of the King of the Jews if the Word of God had not already been present among them? How they heard that word of God, we don't know for sure, although we can have some pretty good guesses. There were a few early church fathers who thought that the Magi was a reference to people from Arabia, but the vast majority and the testimony of Scripture and the evidence from secular books as well says that no, they were almost certainly men from Persia and or Babylon. The term Magi that is used in our text is used both in Scripture and in secular writings for a group of Persian and Chaldean high priests who particularly studied astrology and astronomy, who were there in the court of Babylon during the time of Daniel. Daniel was the chief amongst them. That doesn't mean that he himself studied astrology. I'm sure he, you know, stuck to astronomy and the Word of God. But he was their chief there in Babylon. And it's very possible that that's where they heard the word of God. In fact, some of these who came to worship Christ may have even been Daniel's great, 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 you have to add 15 greats there, grandchildren. We don't know. Who knows? And of course, there were settlements of Jews throughout Persia and throughout Babylon who would have had the word of God. And so they could have heard the word of God from them as well. Wherever they got it from, they knew the Word of God, they knew the promises, they were looking for that coming of the Messiah, they were watching for the sign much better than the Jewish people. And when they saw the star, they followed where Christ led through His Word and through that star. The star and the Word of God directed them to Judah and to Jerusalem, but then they got a little lost, a little confused. Where do we go from here? Yet once again, the word of the Lord was there to direct them, and they listened and continued on to Bethlehem. And then finally, we see at the end of our text, the word of the Lord warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod. And so they departed and went home safely as the word of the Lord directed them to. The Magi put us to shame in their eagerness to seek and to find Christ, they also put us a little to shame in their eagerness and quickness to hear the word of the Lord, to listen and obey. We might often find ourselves, like the Magi when they got to Jerusalem, a little lost, a little confused in our life, not sure where we go from here. We might have started out full of energy and joy and delight to do the will of the Lord and seeking Christ in our life, and then we get sidetracked or we get a little lost. Return to the word of the Lord, as the Magi did. And it's always there to direct your path, and it will always lead you back to Christ, to rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that He has for you. And so the Magi also rejoiced when the word of the Lord directed them and they saw the star, knowing that they were getting closer to Christ. They rejoiced, singing praises to God with their lips. They rejoiced and gave thanks to God, not only with their lips, but with their treasures. Coming and finding Christ, they opened their treasures, the word of the Lord says. And that phrase there, that could mean that they had special gifts that they had brought just to give to Christ. It could also mean that having found Christ, they opened up whatever they had and were looking around, searching their bags, wondering, what do we have that we can give to God to express our thanks and our joy and our gratitude? But either way, they laid before Him what was most costly to them, proclaiming with their offering that they treasured Christ above all the things in this world. And then they continued to rejoice and praise Christ as they returned home, taking the Christ child in their hearts with them and going back to their lives and letting the joy of that Christ direct and guide them, living in that joy of Christ, even after Christmas was over, even after they had seen the Christ child. And so the Magi are a wonderful example to us, teaching us what it means to worship Christ, to seek Him with our whole heart, to rejoice in Him, not only with our lips, but with our life and with our offerings as well, and to listen attentively to His word, to listen and obey. Well, what did they find when they worshiped Christ? What did they find there in Bethlehem? It says that they came in and saw the child with the mother. But a better explanation of what they found are the words of the chief priests and the scribes themselves. So they said to him, that's Herod, the chief priests and the scribes said to Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The chief priests and the scribes are quoting there from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. And if you open your Bibles to Micah chapter 5, you may notice that the words that they speak are very different from the words in Micah. They are not quoting exactly. For example, Micah says, "Bethlehem Ephratah," and they say, "Bethlehem in the land of Judah." Well, they're explaining to Herod, aren't they? They probably know Herod, Bethlehem Ephratah isn't going to mean anything to Herod. So they take the opportunity to explain Bethlehem, the one in Judah, not the one up in Zebulun. And it's really kind of sad, because it shows us that they understood very well the meaning of the passage. They don't just quote it, but they're able to explain it very well and very fully. They understood the meaning with their minds. They could teach Herod and the wise men what it meant. Well, they didn't understand it with their hearts. The Magi found exactly what Micah proclaimed, and they understood it with their hearts. They found a ruler who will shepherd his people and lead them to living waters. They found a shepherd who would guide and take care of them their whole life, and they rejoiced in that. Who was it who sent the Israelites 500 years ago to the land of Babylon and Persia so that the word of the Lord would go out to those people? It was Christ. Who was it who sent the star to lead and guide them? It was Christ. Who was it who proclaimed through the chief priests and the scribes to lead them on to Bethlehem? It was Christ who led and guided them every step of the way, calling them to himself. And notice he doesn't lead them directly to Bethlehem, but he leads them to Jerusalem. And we can't say for sure why he did it, but it seems likely that he wanted them to witness also to the people of Jerusalem. The good shepherd calling even the people of Jerusalem to himself as he calls and guides us. Just as he called Abraham out of Babylon so many, many years before, and brought Abraham to the promised land to make a great nation out of him, so now he calls these men also from the land of Babylon and Persia and brings them to himself as he calls us and leads us to himself. The good shepherd who calls and gathers us, not because we're so good at always coming to church, which we're not, not because our hearts seek him with the entirety of our lives. We should, but we don't. Not because we are so good at praising him with our lips and our offerings. Not even because we are always good at listening to his word. But because he is our good shepherd, and we are his people. And so, despite our failings, he calls and gathers us, because for this purpose he came, to be our shepherd and to die for us so that he might lead us to his heavenly and eternal pasture. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.